Happy Friday and welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. It finally feels like an exciting time again in the Vanderpump Rules world, with Vanderpump Rules finally taking off halfway through the season, the Valley spinoff unexpectedly delivering some pretty solid reality TV, and there's also Vanderpump Villa, which premieres on Hulu on Monday, April 1st. And by the way, I'll have some of those cast members, including Lisa Vanderpump, on the show on premiere day to hear about the show and so that you can get to know some of the standout players a little bit as the show premieres. So while the second episode of The Valley wasn't as strong as the premiere, in my opinion, it did end well and gave us a to be continued into what looks like a huge blow up between Kristen and Zach, the gay guy on the cast. So honestly, I'm finding myself buckled into that show way more than I ever even intended to be, so let's see if they can keep my attention. And then on the flagship show, Vanderpump Rules, it's finally getting to a point where not everything is about the aftermath of Scandoval, and it's more about sort of like that next stage. Some of them have finally let Scandoval in. He's not being completely iced out. They're giving him some leeway, and they've reopened some of those connections. And we're kind of exploring like what it looks like with Sheena and Lala in particular, who are doing most of the groundwork in that capacity. And while I don't agree with them on their decisions to welcome Scandoval back into their lives, on a personal level, I do respect their decisions to do so for the sake of moving the season forward. Because like, if they also were stonewalling him into this back half of the season, there would have been absolutely no movement whatsoever. And I think Ariana is completely entitled to continue to ignore him. Literally in this past episode, when he tried to ask her in person at a party about the letter he had emailed her with a proposal about their house, she physically turned away from him. And again, more power to her. Team Ariana till I die. I would be doing the exact same, and it's Sheena and Lala's prerogative if they want to risk their own friendships with Ariana by doing so. But Sheena has way more to lose there, and she's definitely playing with fire. And I think it brings up this really interesting tension between like what's good for the show for this group and what's good for them as real life human beings. And that's a tension that I'm going to explore a little bit in the conversation that follows this intro. So yeah, anyway, we're all of a sudden getting a lot of curveballs on this show, like Sheena and Schwartz's makeout, the Katie and Max hookup, and of course, Joe, who all of a sudden is like all over this show. And again, as you'll hear me discuss later in this episode in a conversation all about Vanderpump Rules and The Valley, I think that this is born out of two things that happened midway through filming. After a ton of back and forth, Rachel finally delivered a firm no to the network and to production that she would absolutely not be returning to the show. And Alex Baskin, the executive producer of the show, brought the cast together to inspire them to raise the level of the season because he recognized that it wasn't going to deliver in that current state halfway through filming. So this is from the New York Times profile of Tom Sandoval from February, where we heard about that meeting. As filming for the new season got underway, Bravo had a problem. The cast had turned on Sandoval. Maddox refused to interact with him altogether. In July, Baskin and the network brought the cast into Evolution's offices for what he called a, quote, come to Jesus moment. But he was no longer talking to 20-something waiters. Quote, we can still squeeze a great season out of it, he said. But going forward, I don't know. Levis was the only primary cast member who didn't return for season 11. Her team inquired about a pay increase and floated the possibility of Levis's getting a development deal with Bravo. In parentheses, through a representative, Levis emphasized that mental health protections were her primary concern. Then in August, after spending 90 days in the Arizona facility and changing her name from Raquel back to her birth name, Rachel, Levis appeared on Bethany Frankel's podcast. Now, this is me talking again. And then we all know what happened after that interview, after that podcast, whatever. And then the following quote is from Rachel herself talking on the first episode of her podcast, Rachel Goes Rogue, in January. So I was 1 week after my 90-day stay at this facility. I was out, basically. We were trying to come to an agreement and negotiations to get me back to do Vanderpump Rules. They were really trying to get me to sign up to do Vanderpump Rules before the cast trip to Lake Tahoe, because that's when they wanted me to re-enter. Ultimately, I said, whichever way you put it, I physically can't go back because it wouldn't be good for me. And so they said, fine, it's over. It's your time. And then the next week, my mom and I are sitting on the bed and we're looking at Instagram, and it was a fan that posted, Graham, is that you? And Lake Tahoe. And I was like, my heart sank. And I was like, Mom, there's no way that Graham will be back on the show, right? Like, that just doesn't make sense. I was only a week out of my treatment, and their whole plan was to get me to Tahoe so they could drop this bomb on me. And this is me speaking again. And that bomb obviously was that Graham was back with James via Lisa Vanderpump, who had gotten him from an adoption shelter that Rachel had put him in. So it's kind of these two things in tandem of Rachel giving them a firm no, finally, that she was not going to be back. Any sort of potential storylines involving her were not going to happen. And Baskin, the EP of the show, recognizing, okay, this is just not delivering what it should be, especially since we were at such a high from the end of last season. So I think that's why, again, we are getting the Joe stuff. We are getting the Sheena Schwartz reveal all of a sudden after 12 years. Max and Katie are hooking up and we're hearing about it via Brock. Like, all these things weren't things that were happening in this first half of the season. And I think that those two things that I just detailed for you are sort of the reason why they're all of a sudden happening, while the show is all of a sudden clicking again, and why it's more fun to watch all of a sudden. So yeah, we're really reaping the benefits of those two things, and it's paying off in a way that proves that this show can still surprise us, can still deliver unexpected drama and curveballs even after 11 years. So joining me today on Gabbing with Gib is Kiki Monique at The Talk of Shame. She is the host of True Crime, a Betches podcast, as well as the co-host of Reality Checked on Sirius XM's Radio Andy. She is a huge expert in all things pop culture, celebrity, reality TV. So her perspective is always apt, always welcome. So keep listening for my chat about all things Pump Rules and the Valley with Kiki Monique. And please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. I want to gab. Today, we're gabbing with Kiki Monique, who you may know as The Talk of Shame, who keeps us up to date on all things pop culture and celebrity news with her social media journalism and investigative reporting. She's also the host of Pop Crime, a Betches podcast, as well as the co-host of Radio Andy's Reality Checked. Kiki, I'm so excited to have you here. It's been too long. I can't wait to talk all things Vanderpump Rules cinematic universe with you. How's it going?
Honestly, I don't know if I've slept in the last like 96 hours. And I did this to myself because like last week I had manifested in my stories. I was like, there's no tea. There's no God. It was pretty boring, right? And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, I asked for it.
Yeah, exactly. And you've been really providing the detail. That story is so complex. It's a moment like that where like I really appreciate somebody like you who can really break it down and really deliver it in just like in the terms that we can all understand. So thank you for your service.
Well, you know, I love to do it.
Okay, so we had a new episode of Vanderpump Rules, a new episode of The Valley, and, you know, it's no secret that the season was maybe off to a slow start on the Vanderpump Rules front, but I really feel like it's picking up kind of ever since the Tahoe trip. Do you feel like that? What's your sort of current temperature when it comes to this season of Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah, I will say at the first half of the season, I was watching it on my DVR, which I normally don't do. I normally had been watching Vanderpump real time.
That's when
I
know.
Will say, yeah, now I'm like, okay, I'm back to real time because now I want it's getting juicy and they are spilling all sorts of tea that we haven't even known for like 10 years.
Literally 10 years. And I'm thinking back to that kind of infamous Tom Sandoval New York Times profile. And in that, there was this sort of little section that I found really interesting where they interviewed Alex Baskin, the executive producer of the show. And he basically said that, like, sort of around July, around this Tahoe trip, he had the like pretty much everybody come to his office and they had sort of this sort of like cunt of Jesus moment. The message seemed to be like, we got to pick it up. We got to deliver something good because we have a lot to follow up. And we also know from Rachel's podcast that around the Tahoe trip is when she kind of officially was like, no, I'm not coming back. And so I think that kind of explains why, you know, Joe is around a lot. We suddenly get this confession from Schwartz about making out with Sheena in Vegas 12 years ago. You know, we have the Katie and Max hooking up thing. So it really feels like all of a sudden we have three big factors. And I kind of think that it's because like they kind of saw the writing on the wall of like, okay, this season is not giving what it needed to give.
Yeah, because you would think that coming off such like a stellar, it wasn't even a stellar season, right? The season was stellar because what happened in between seasons, and you probably are sort of floating on cloud nine, like, oh, you know, what could happen to us? We're like, you know, Bravo's golden children. Right. And they're like, no, you gotta still keep giving.
No, exactly. Exactly. So I guess one of the things we found out this week was the Katie and Max thing. Max was on the show for one season. Other than that, he was pretty irrelevant for us, or so we thought. You kind of knew that he was still hanging around, but I guess he was really close to Schwartz. So we find out that Katie and him hooked up after a night out. In your mind, you know, I think some of the guys think this. In your mind, is it kind of a double standard for Katie to be able to hook up with one of Schwartz's really good friends when all last season she got on him about kind of pursuing Rachel?
Oh, absolutely. And I think Katie is a smart woman. She knew exactly what she was doing. Because I'll be honest, I didn't realize how close, you know, Max really still was. And just the fact it's like, we just went hiking the other day. Like, that is a friendship. Anyone who gets you to hike on, you know, a random weekday. So yeah, she knew exactly what she was doing. But at the same time, here's the thing. Schwartz is one of those people that like goes around and like everyone just is like, oh, he does these dopey things. Oh, it's just Schwartz. And he gets away with a lot. And honestly, I just think it just got under Katie's skin and she was just like, she had it. She was just like, I'm going to do the things that you do. Screw it.
Right. Totally. And the other kind of aspect of this is that people are sort of saying that it's creepy of Sheena to be like tracking people on Find My Friends. And she has like, apparently she had like 56 people's locations on her phone. But I have friends who are like that. I have friends who are obsessed with Find My Friends. They go on it when they're bored. They see what people are up to. And if she was on a night out with them and she sensed vibes, knows they shared an Uber home together, any of us, I think, would have been checking up on where they landed that night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I actually talked. I'm on Shenanigans this week. It comes out Friday. And so I talked to Sheena about this specifically because, I mean, yeah, 56 people is a lot. I mean, I was more trying to figure out how she got people to give her the location. But I told her, I said, look,
years of work.
I refuse to share my location with people.
Me too.
But I love having people's locations because I just do. And it's not because I'm a creeper. It's just more like I do sometimes want to know, like, well, what are you up to? Where are you going? Maybe I want to hang out. I don't know. I just want to know.
Tell me more about you being on Shenanigans. Is there any other like things that we can look forward to learning from that?
It was a really fun show. We decided to do just sort of like a ladies roundtable. So we had Grace, her name is GK Barry online, but Grace, she's this big UK podcaster. So she came and then we had Janet from the Valley. And we were talking about, you know, we were talking about all things UK. We were obviously talking about the show. We were talking about the, you know, Sheena and Schwartz's kiss. We were talking about her having, we talked about a lot of things. Yeah.
Love that. And so, I mean, to me, this Katie Max hookup reveal. And just, I mean, you see Brock bring it to the group via, or he tells Schwartz and then he brings it to the group and they learned about it via the location tracking. But I think if you just looked at that table and all the differing reactions and like people were genuinely shocked by that, to me, that told me, okay, this Katie and Max hookup reveal is exactly what this season of Vanderpump Rules needed in terms of a totally unexpected curveball of a reveal. Do you feel the same?
I do. And like, I wonder when they got pulled into that room with Alex Baskin, was Brock there or did Sheena relay it? And he kind of just like took it into his own hands because he knew this information, because you could see in that moment, Sheena was pissed. And she says on her show, she was angry when he did that. Like she, and you could see it. She was like going to like rip him a new one, but he was just like, look, I'm doing what needs to be done. And he was right. You know?
And do you think she was angry because like she had made headway in her friendship with Katie and it makes her look bad that she was kind of observing what was going on? Is that why she's mad?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Sheena, I tell her she is always the one that gets a lot of she does get a lot of backlash. She gets a lot of hate. And I told her, I said, it's because, you know, Sheena says and does things that a lot of us are thinking, but we probably might not say out loud, but she'll say it and she gets shit for it. But I'm like, if you really reflect, like you probably are thinking the same thing too.
Right. And then she, I mean, in the after show, Katie basically makes this claim that like Sheena, you know, texted Max to like see if he got home okay, but it was more like her fishing to see what was up. And she says she did not get a text like that from Sheena, but Sheena posted a screenshot on her story earlier today, basically refuting that, showing that she did check up. So I feel like Sheena, obviously not everything she does on this show is necessarily always defendable, but she also is the first to be blamed in sort of any situation, it seems.
Yeah, I think that Sheena still has a lot of insecurities around the group because of how she came in, how they perceived her. And so I think that sometimes she walks on eggshells and she doesn't know. But I think what's great is that I think she's so used to it, like it sort of bounces off of her, which is, you know, what you need in a reality star.
Yeah, she is thick skinned. She has that armor at this point for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into her makeout with Schwartz, which was the other obviously big reveal that we knew from the trailer, but we didn't know the context around it. It happened 12 years ago in Vegas. Her and Schwartz have differing accounts on what exactly happened. What do you make of that? Do you think it has relevance to the discussion in 2023 when they filmed? Like, what was your reaction?
You know, I kept comparing it to, you know, a lot of people when you watch online, sometimes they have a reaction towards Ariana because they are like, why are you acting like that? It's been a year. But we have to remember that this was filmed like 4 months after right. this whole thing broke. And you have to like put yourself in that place. And that's why I felt about that reveal, because back in 2012, 2013, whenever this happened, Katie and Sheena hated each other.
Right.
And, you know, if your man tried to come on to me, and I tell you, and you hate me, I just feel like you're going to be like, you're trying to destroy my relationship. You're not going to take it in any, like, there's just no way. I'm sorry. And so we can look back now and say, like, I can't believe you held this for 10 years. But also, she was in a relationship, but she just was like, he did something inappropriate. He is my friend. And I didn't want him to come off across as like someone who was taking advantage of me. Like, look, we've all made drunken hookups where we try to lean in and maybe make out with someone and it was not the right thing. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he was in a relationship and I was engaged, but that's why I wanted to forget it. And I just wanted to like move on. So I think that she totally did the right thing. If any woman who says they don't have a secret that they're taking to the grave, I'm sorry, you're lying.
And Sheena, it seems like she was going to take that to the grave, but it kind of came out against her will via Schwartz.
Yeah, so, she was like, Schwartz said that? She was like, I thought we had an agreement. I was protecting you.
So do you think Katie doesn't have a right to be mad about it? Like, what do you make of Katie's reaction to it?
I think Katie should be mad at Schwartz. That's like, at right. the end of the day, Schwartz, you know, if he blacked out and didn't even remember it happened, but if he did remember it happened, you know, she should be mad at him because he is the one that's the kissing bandit going around and doing these things and clearly doing it inappropriately with her friends and her frenemies.
And it's hard to imagine a moment, like you said, sort of if Sheena had come forward with this at an earlier time, it's hard to imagine there would have been any moment where Katie wouldn't have, you know, been mad at Sheena about it or put blame on her for it. And it's like, I don't know. It's just that's just who Katie is too sometimes.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay, so the other factor, again, that has popped up since this sort of midway point in the season is Joe. Joe, who sits cross-legged in her confessionals, the hairstylist who should be showing off her work more than she is. Okay, obviously there's a lot to say about Joe. She gets shit on a lot online. And in that capacity, I can feel bad for her sometimes, I guess. But I think her biggest issue is that Schwartz clearly made her feel like they were dating. Like she was basically his girlfriend. But as we see on the show to others in the group, he kind of always shuts it down or always sort of downplays the nature of their relationship. But they clearly spent a lot of time together. Do you think that's sort of like one of the big discrepancies here? Because that to me is sort of what's kind of unspoken right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Joe is a little bit out there and, you know, it can be quirky and fun. But like, if you don't know her, it just comes across as like, are all of the crayons in the box? Like, yeah. You know, and so I do feel bad for her because I do feel like she's trying to come into a group that like, I don't know, they're just not going to really accept you because especially the way you're coming in. And then when Ariana kind of laid it out there of like, you're trying to be our friend, but like you weren't trying to be my friend when you were going with Raquel up to Big Bear and leaving her with my boyfriend. Then you wonder like, is this all an act? And so it's really hard to sort of like jive with her. And you kind of actually, you know, even though I don't want to be a mean girl sometimes I do want to be a mean girl. And I'm kind of like on the mean girl team of like, no, I'm not going to accept you, which I was surprised Allie was so accepting of her because Allie is usually quick to kind of weed out
on
those
the money.
Sorts of things.
Right.
But the fact that she was willing to give her a chance, I was actually shocked by.
Yeah, it's sort of like Joe wants to have her cake and eat it, too, of like get to be on the show now, get to be Schwartz's like side piece or whatever it is. But then she's kind of coming in with a tail between her legs and like not recognizing that one, they're not going to give her a chance because she was complicit in the affair. And two, like, I think they would actually have more respect for her if she came in with you know, her fists up and like ready to fight. Like she's kind of running scared from it all. And it's sort of like, if you're going to come into the situation when you're coming into it, again, the way you're coming into it, you got to like, you know, meet them where they are. And she's kind of not doing that.
Yeah. I mean, like she ran away crying at the party and that's never going to be, you know, I know we'll get into the valley, but Luke, I mean, even though I had cringy moments, at least he kind of stood up for Kristen. And it's like, if that's who you got to be in your first season, in your introduction is like, you know, I'm either here for the fight or not, but you can't go away, run away crying.
That's a good parallel too, because they both sort of seem like maybe they're not built for this. for reality TV. And it's like, but at least you're right. At least he said something. And it's sort of like she ran away crying, but none of them even really said anything directly to her except for Sheena saying, take your hat off. It's like,
yeah. And it was, you know, it's always, you know, she was clearly eavesdropping. That was another thing. Like, she was clearly eavesdropping on their conversation. So then you start thinking, well, like, are you kind of creepy? Because like, they were not even near you. And you were like listening to the entire thing enough to make you cry.
She was listening in, but like with her back to it on that like weird lounge chair. It's bizarre. But maybe this is what this show needed, is sort of like this enigma that they don't totally know how to handle. And I think that any sort of curveball that this season of Vanderpump Rules could get, I think, was needed. So you know what? Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of Joe, but in a weird way, I'm glad she's there just to get sort of the comedy out of it. So Kiki, you know, Andy has said, I think he said it sort of like, after filming their reunion, he said Lala has sort of emerged as a voice of reason on this show. He had just been sort of this back half of the season. And a lot of people online, at least from what I've seen, seem to disagree with that assessment. And I think that's because a lot of people are, again, rightfully so, sort of behind Ariana, and sort of anything that moves against that at all is sort of taken as sort of like a betrayal, sort of by definition. And you know, to me, it gets into this tension of like, it's obviously going to make her unpopular with those people, but she is questioning and kind of letting Tom in a little bit more than maybe expected. But isn't that also kind of doing her job by like not being a blockage to things and maybe calling out uncomfortable truths? What do you make of Lala and sort of how she's operating right now?
That's the thing. We've broken the fourth wall so much in reality world. And like, sometimes we want to and sometimes we don't. But obviously, in this moment, I'm looking at someone who's like, I want to have another season or two of this show, if possible. I just bought another house. I have a house in Palm Springs. I just bought this other house. I need to pay the mortgage, okay? So either we're going to get in here and film together and show up and do the job or not. And the people who are willing to do that, well, then I'm going to have a relationship with them. Now, we know Sandoval, he wants to show up and do, he wants this job too. And so at this point, I feel like she thinks, well, I got to find a way to work with him. So mm-hmm. I'm going to figure out that storyline. And like, and they genuinely have not had a good relationship all these years. Like, they've never really had friends. So I do think that there is a potential storyline for them to, you know, get to know each other, especially in this new sober, you know, I don't know if Sandoval's going to stay sober, but we right. know Lala, you know, wants to. So, you know, I think there is an interesting thing there. And you know, so I don't fault her for that at all. Cause like, you know, we all want to keep our jobs.
I know. Yeah, no, I really don't. And I also think that it's not like she's going full force in the other direction. She still has moments where she criticizes Sandoval or she criticizes Schwartz. And it's not like she's just sort of like jumping in blindfolded to the other side of the pool. Like, she's still, and maybe that's the issue, is maybe like Ariana might see it. Apparently she eviscerates her at the reunion. So maybe Ariana sort of seeing it or sort of playing at both sides. But again, I just sort of think that like, people are forgetting that she's just doing her job and, you know, somebody has to, you know?
Look, I think that Lala is playing chess and like, you know, I think that she knows what she needs to accomplish in order to stay relevant. And part of what I was hoping out of this season was to see sort of like the women sort of like, what would happen now that they see Ariana's, you know, rise to fame? Because I didn't know if we would see it. I didn't know if we would see a bunch of women just being like, yay, Ariana. Right. And we aren't. And I think she recognizes that's what we want to see, because that's what's real. We all know that, like, we cheer for our friends. We feel happy for them. But we also get jealous. Again, that's why I felt so much Sheena in the moment with the Dancing with the Stars. Like, I felt that empathy. She said it out loud. Like, I'm happy for you, but I'm also sad for me. And we have all felt that, but everybody's like, you're making this about you. And I'm like, tell me you would be lying to say you've never exactly. been jealous of your friend. So I feel like they're doing what they need to do. And so, you know, it's not going to be popular, but you know, it's going to.
Yeah. And I think that that's sort of, I think that one of the sort of biggest Achilles heels of any reality star is playing it safe in order to stay liked, or being afraid to be unlikable in certain moments, because there are ups and downs in these careers they have on these shows. And like, to not be afraid of making the unpopular statement or saying what people are thinking, I have to respect that in Lala and Sheena, I think, even though I don't always agree with those assessments, like, they're putting it out there and they're kind of throwing that grenade and seeing what happens. You know what I mean? But
it's true. I also find that like my personality is I tend to always not say underdog in this scenario. I wouldn't call it the underdog, but I always tend to go the opposite of the wave just because I want to understand, like, if everybody's going this way, I want to know why the people who aren't. And so I want to understand that side more.
Yeah. So were you somebody who like maybe like early mid last summer when this was filming and when Ariana was still getting us sort of all of these huge opportunities, were you somebody who started to question that or started to sort of, when did that sort of manifest itself in sort of this scandal of it all?
I don't know if I started to, like, I was like very happy for her because again, I was like, as somebody who has been in like a crap relationship and had to completely rebuild that her life, every time she got something new that was like setting her up for success, I was like so happy for it. But I was very interested in like how that was going to change the dynamics of her friend group. You know, even Katie, I mean, Katie seems to have stood by her side, but you know, I'm curious if that lasts. Because again, it's hard when someone's star is rising and maybe, you know, you're kind of feel stuck in the same place. I don't know if Katie feels stuck, you know, but you know.
Yeah. Katie has sort of, I think up until now, and she's been very consistent in sort of being that united front with Ariana. So I have respect for that too. But I also think there was some clip that made its rounds from Nick Viall's podcast when Katie was on there recently, and they were talking about sort of, performative outrage or something like that. And they were kind of accusing Lala and Sheena of having that. And it got into this issue for me of like, again, things that are good for a friendship are seen as the good friend move might differ from what's good for the show or what's good for, you know, making good TV. And again, I love Katie. I love the maturity she's shown. I love Ariana and I stand by her after everything she's gone through. I do think there are emerging different standards of like what they're accepting and what they're sort of going to put up with. And it's sort of like at a certain point, there's going to be like a block.
And I had a bit of a flashback too in these like most recent episodes with Katie of her dynamic with Stassi. Because I remember like I started really like being like, go Katie, when like she really stood up for herself with Stassi. And then they sort of evolved in their friendship. And I don't know, I just feel like that maybe could come with Ariana. Because I think that like, you know, I think that she sometimes can get comfortable in that second position, but like might hold some resentment and then it'll come out when it's least expected.
That sort of unexpected X factor in Katie, I think, is what makes her so compelling still for me. Last kind of big issue, I guess, on this show, and we can breeze through it if none of us really care that much because it's been so kind of beaten to death, is the Tom and Ariana house situation. It's weird watching it play out on the show because that is something that we know, like, they did still live together until like Ariana basically moved out into a rental for Dancing with the Stars. And now we know she's bought a house. I guess my biggest thing with this whole thing on the show is like, it's always, why does Ariana still live there? Why hasn't she moved out? That's sort of what Lala keeps talking about. And I'm like, well, why is nobody asking him why he will never move out? Or why is nobody asking him why he is still living there? Do you care about the situation as it pertains to what we're watching on the show? Or...
No, I do. I mean, I think they see all the opportunities she's getting and they're just like, you have all this money, like go just get an apartment somewhere. But it's like, why should I have to spend a dime on my money? Like, I want to save every single dime and he can figure it out. So I get it. And honestly, like, I mean, I don't know why they care so much. It doesn't seem to be affecting her that she's like, she hasn't said anything about it. She literally talks to his assistant. They bring it up more than anything. So yeah, you know, I want to know how the house situation plays out. Cause I've actually been curious, like if Tom was going to like say something in real time about the fact that she bought a house. Right. And, you know, start playing victim of like, see, and like, and this is why I should just have the house. And it's like, well, no, I still don't want you to.
No. And also like it took her 9 months to figure out buying that house. You know what I mean? So like, why was she going to move into like a hotel room in the meantime? Like, no, all I'm saying is get that dog out of there. That dog is not safe in that household. So keep her with Ariana, move Maya to the Hollywood Hills and let's just call it a day.
No, that scene really triggered me. Cause I'm obsessed with my cats. And I remember I was dating someone and I remember I came home one day and one of my cats wasn't in the house. And I was like, where's my... And so I was like convinced that like she was in a wall or something. You know, I just like could not figure it out. And so I like text the super and he's like, oh yeah, one of the neighbors like found a cat in the hallway. And I like go running up and my cat's there. And because like he had been so just like, you know, not thinking about it, whatever, he was leaving one day and like he left and didn't see her like follow him behind, close the door and just kept going. And so like things like that trigger me. I'm like, if you don't love my pets as much as I do, like stay away.
Okay, so let's move on to the Valley. I feel like we've kind of hit most of the big points on Pump Rules. The Valley, we got the second episode of this first season. And, you know, the premiere hit really well for me. The second episode, not as much. But I'm curious what your overall thoughts are so far on what we've seen from the Valley.
Oh, really? I really love the second episode. And I like love how it was setting up for the third. Look, Jax, I have always loved Jax for television, and like I would watch every single one of his lives. And I don't know why, because he literally, I want to wring his neck. Like he's like, but I guess that's why he knows what to do for TV. But like, he also can't hide it. He can't hide his face. He smirks because he knows he's doing something bad, and he can't help but smirk the whole time. But I've been really pleasantly surprised, because obviously, you know, when the Valley came on, I think that most Bravo Labs, our instinct is always to hate something. I don't know why. We just choose to hate something.
We're like, we're just very skeptical off the bat.
And so I was like, you know, like, and also I didn't know if it was targeted towards me, right? Because I'm very much still in my Vanderpump phase. Like, I don't care how old I get. I still want to go out and party. I don't plan on having kids. And so I didn't know if this was going to resonate with me. But no, it resonates fully with me, because actually, not that it makes me feel okay with my decision, but it makes me realize it's grass is greener.
Totally.
No matter where, if you're, you know, married with children, you know, or whether you're single in the city. So I actually really like it. And Janet and Jason are surprisingly the breakout couple for me, which I didn't know, because I felt like they were the ones we knew nothing about. Like we sort of, I mean, we didn't know a lot about a lot of, but you know, we thought the stars, I think, that we had known from Vanderpump were going to be the ones that stood out. But like, they're the ones that stand out.
They're the ones that they're likable and normal without being boring, which is kind of a fine line to skate, I think, on reality TV. But I'm not bored by them. I think Janet's clearly been in this orbit also for a while, which makes it seem natural and authentic that they're there. So I totally agree. I love Janet. It's hard with Jax. I mean, because it's like, I think when he showed up on that sort of crossover boys drinks that sort of went into the Valley, I was like, you know what? He is good TV. Like he injects this energy that very few people are even willing to bring. I guess the thing with him is that I just don't really buy the sort of evolution that he's been trying to sell us for the past year. You know what I mean? I feel like off the bat of Scandoval, he was sort of like campaigning for this show to happen. And he, you know, was like, I'm grown up, I'm a dad, yada, yada, yada. But it's like 2 seconds in and he's like inviting Kristen's ex-boyfriend to the boys' night. And I'm like, he hasn't really changed, which is fine, but just admit that.
No, it's like, you know, you've always been toxic. So like, stop lying like you aren't, because how are you going to take your best friend, Kristen, to lunch, also take her to a steakhouse when she's a vegetarian? So already in that moment, it's like, but then you take her to lunch to explain why you were yelling about her, about why you didn't think that she should be having kids, only then to turn around and not really want to get to know her boyfriend, but then do it by inviting her ex-boyfriend who treated her like crap and kicked her out of her house to the boys' night. Like, it's so evil. But then Brittany to be backing it up was more shocking.
I totally agree, because now we know where they are in their relationship, and you kind of figured that this whole season we'll see her just sort of being like, we'll see her roll her eyes or just sort of like push back on all his antics. For her to sort of blindly back that up just feels like the wrong choice.
and was like getting mad at Kristen about it. Like, Luke shouldn't even be there. What? My boyfriend shouldn't be there? Well, they've been friends for a long time. Well, who cares? Like, he doesn't have to be there that night. If she wants to get to know my boyfriend, he could get to know my boyfriend and go hang out with his friend on another night.
I mean, I will say, seeing Kristen pop off like that, I'm just like, thank God she is back on TV. I'm sorry. I know, sure, there's some people who don't think she should have been given another chance, but I'm sorry. She makes for good reality TV. She hasn't really changed. And I appreciate that about her, I guess, for the sake of this show. And she calls attention to her flaws. And I think I respect that about her. And, you know, she's being so open about like her journey with wanting to have kids and all that. And I think that that's to be commended. I don't know. I'm just glad to have her back. And I think that she's a necessary anchor for this show to really work.
Yeah, I mean, in that moment, I never wanted to be someone's girlfriend to have their back than than I did in that moment. I literally wanted to jump in and be like, well, I think I can't remember who's the gay guy, who's their friend. I mean, he really kind of
Zach, I want to say. Yes. I think his name is Zach.
And so he, I mean, he jumped into
and something else happens there. And the
I know, but then it seems like
so.
He's falling
out. Is there anybody else that stands out to you early on? I mean, I don't even remember all of their names, if I'm being honest, but like, are there certain, I mean, obviously that one couple, Jesse and somebody, we know they're broken up and we can see the cracks from episode one, but who else stands out to you, or that or who are you gravitating towards?
Yeah, that's the thing. The couple, the Jesse, and then the like Miss America. I'll be honest. I kept like
there. Yeah,
I never when they're on screen, I'm like, wait, which one is which? So it's gonna take a while to like remember. We know one of them really hates each other though, and one of them really loves each other. So
yep. I think one of the things that has surprised me about watching The Valley so far is I thought that I would. Because obviously this show wanted Stassi and Beau to also be part of the cast. Like that's sort of the open secret. And they're not, they decided not to join. I thought I would miss their presence more. I thought I would miss the presence of like another couple or another personality that we really know and we have gotten to know over the years. Do you miss them at all on this show? Are you okay with them not being around?
No, you know, I actually think they may have like taken over, you know, like I feel like they would have been the stars, right? And I feel like this is giving like again Janet and Jason the chance to be that couple that is like, and I felt like Stassi and Beau would have been that couple. And you know, clearly she's doing good things. You saw she announced today she's with Dear Media, so I think she's doing just fine without
she's doing just fine. Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. I just thought, I think before we saw any sort of footage, I was like, God, the show probably needed them. And I think that this is proving me wrong in that way. So I'm pleasantly surprised by that. And obviously in the first episode, we saw cameos from Lala, from Sheena and Brock in that sort of party scene, which I thought was also a good thing for us to be seeing on this show. Do you see a future where they graduate into the Valley from Vanderpump Rules? Or do you think that there's sort of a line in the sand? How do you sort of picture, I think at the beginning I called this the Vanderpump Rules cinematic universe. How do you picture that looking in a season or two, if and when the Valley has sort of cemented its place on Bravo?
You know, like I said, I think Lala does play chess. And I don't think it's any like coincidence that she happened to buy a house in the Valley and Sheena happened to buy a house in the Valley as well, you know, because it just, you know, because they obviously saw when filming was happening, they probably heard what was happening and they probably were like, ooh, I think this is going to be a good show. You know, the fans might not be convinced, but we've seen it, you know, behind the scenes and we know. And so let's try to move our way over because at some point Vanderpump has to end or it has to recast, you know, like you can't, even though I wouldn't mind. I don't mind seeing 50-year-olds continue.
I don't either. I just think that the line between the shows is a little bit blurred because the conceit of the Valley is we live in the Valley, we have kids, we're settling down, and like there are several people on Vanderpump Rules who are doing just that. And so it's like, where is the line there? I guess, but
exactly.
I guess I can imagine like an episode in 2025 where it's like, you know, the Vanderpump Rule cast sits down at Sir, then we see some waiters and waitresses at Sir come up and serve them, then the diners are, they drive back home to the Valley, and then we get like sort of an extra sort of transition. I don't know, I'm just daydreaming.
Your Vanderpump
here.
Dreams.
Listen, but I'm like, it would be very interesting if we got a total reset on Pump Rules at some point, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on the Valley? Like, I feel like it's still early days, but you're feeling good about it.
It's still early days, but Janet said next week's episode, when we talked yesterday, she said next week's episode is going to be, and like from that trailer, it looks fiery. So
I appreciate that they've wasted no time. You know, we're not dipping our toes in. We're jumping in to the deep end. So
yeah,
kudos to them, I guess.
And it's not fake, because also like Janet and Sheena were on a, like a group chat yesterday where they were like, they wouldn't share it with us, but it sounded like there was drama within the people. So it's like, this isn't just for TV. I think this is also happening in real life.
100%. And Kiki, you live in LA. So, and I feel like I've seen you like in the background of some of these filming events and things, like you'll show up to them sometimes. What was the last one you went to, or who you met that sort of like surprised you sort of just by being adjacent to that scene?
You know, I didn't go to the Valley premiere and I haven't gone to the watch party. So I didn't go to that. The last thing I went, I think, was actually something like House of Villains. So I haven't been in the Vanderpump universe for a while, but I actually was considering, even though I might get like banned for this or canceled, I was thinking about going to Schwartz and Sandy watch party just because from like an anthropological.
Okay.
People are showing up there. When I look at the stories, like people are very much, it seems like it's packed. And so I'm just curious, like what the vibe is. And I want to know, and I want to go watch a Valley watch party at Jax's too.
Listen, show up with some big sunglasses, a hat, and just.
I'm gonna need a wig, but my head is too big, so I can never put wigs on.
I'd support you being sort of incognito there. Well, Kiki, you know, we've really dug deep into the Vanderpump Rules and Valley of it all. I appreciate you taking the time today. Where can people listen to you, follow you, plug all the things before we sign off?
Well, you can follow me on TikTok and Instagram at The Talk of Shame. Obviously, follow, subscribe to my podcast, Pop Crime. And if you're a serious listener, listen to me on Reality Check. I'm on every Monday and sometimes on Thursdays.
Kiki really is a great follow, you guys. I truly get some of my news from her. And it's again, very helpful in breaking it down for us. So, Kiki, thanks again for taking the time. Have a great rest of your week. And I'm excited to listen to you on Shenanigans.
Thanks.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.